Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace,
A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Arjuna Uvacha Drishtve Imam Svajanam Krishna Yoyutsam Samupasthitam Siddhanti Mamaga Trani Mukham Chaparishyati. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up. I suggest these fans are turned off because they make a lot of noise. Purport, any man who has genuine devotion to the Lord has all the good qualities which are found in godly persons or in the demigods. Whereas the non-devotee, however advanced he may be in material qualifications by education and culture, lacks in godly qualities. As such, Arjuna, just after seeing his kinsmen, friends and relatives on the battlefield, was at once overwhelmed by compassion for them who had so decided to fight amongst themselves. As far as his soldiers were concerned, he was sympathetic from the beginning, but he felt compassion even for the soldiers of the opposite party, foreseeing their imminent death. And while he was so thinking, the limbs of his body began to quiver and his mouth became dry. He was more or less astonished to see their fighting spirit. Practically the whole community, all blood relatives of Arjuna, had come to fight with him. This overwhelmed a kind devotee like Arjuna. Although it is not mentioned here, still one can easily imagine that not only were Arjuna's bodily limbs quivering and his mouth drying up, but he was also crying out of compassion. Such symptoms in Arjuna were not due to weakness, but to his soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord. It is said, therefore, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana saravair gunais tatra samasate suraha harav abhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathena sati dhavato bahihi. One who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. Arjuna Uvacha Drishve Imam Svajanam Krishnam Yoyutsam Samupasthitam Siddhanti Mamagatrani Mukham Chaparishyati. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up. Is everything okay here? Are we putting too much wattage, is it? For this system?
Loose connection.
Okay. Arjuna is not happy about the prospect of fighting with his Swajana, particularly because he has to fight with his relatives. And Srila Prabhupada comments that his feeling of compassion is due to being a pure devotee of Krishna. However, we later find that Krishna, he's not impressed, and he rebukes Arjuna for displaying improper emotion. Kutastva kashmelamedam vishame samupastitam anarya jushtamasvagyam akirti karam Arjuna. What is this nonsense? Krishna tells Arjuna. He refers to this Arjuna's feelings as kashmala, this contamination. How has this come upon you here in the battlefield? Dharma kshetri, kuru kshetri. For the kshatriya, the battlefield is especially his field of dharma. Of course, for everyone, everywhere, in all places, it's situation for them to execute their dharma. But particularly for the kshatriya, the particular point that he's supposed to protect others from harm, that is brought to the test in the battlefield. Fight and be successful or die. It's quite a test. So in this situation, Krishna saw Arjuna's unwillingness to fight as a contamination. However, life is multi-layered and complex, so what may be perceived, as I was mentioning, I gave a whole lecture on the other day, that there may be different perceptions, even quite opposite perceptions of the same thing, and they can both be true also. So although it's true that in one sense it was a contamination, but in another sense the consideration that Arjuna had, the Kauravas didn't have that. Actually, Arjuna is also a Kaurava. To distinguish between the Pandavas and the Kauravas was artificial, because Pandavas, they're also Kauravas. They're also descended from Kuru. But conventionally, the sons of Dhritarashtra, they were called the Kauravas. So they didn't feel like that. They didn't feel, oh, why should we fight with our brothers? Arjuna thought like that. The Duryodhana's party wanted to kill the Pandavas from their youth. He was trying to do so. So Arjuna had a better quality, but that he was feeling that it's not good to fight, and why should we fight against our brothers? He didn't, although he was trained to fight, he wanted to fight only when it was proper. Unnecessary violence, he didn't want that. That we find in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna mentions ahimsa as a quality. It's not a particular quality for a kshatriya. But on the other hand, a kshatriya should not be excessively violent. We find in the narration of Puranjan Maharaj in the Prachina Barhishat in Bhagavata, kshatriya is allowed to go in the forest and kill animals, but if he does so excessively, then he becomes sinful. So we find in the Bhagavatam that ahimsa is more explicitly and realistically defined as nati himsa, not excessive violence. Some violence is inevitable in this world. We find here in Gujarat, probably more than any other state in India, Jain sadhus and sadhvis walking with the cloth over their mouth so they don't breathe in any insects. Of course, to make that cloth from cotton, so in the agricultural process, so many insects may have become killed also. And they sweep the streets so they don't tread on any insects, but even by sweeping, they could be killing insects. I several times mentioned how in the West, I was sitting in one airplane. There was one young man, a businessman from Bombay, and he said, oh, so you're fully vegetarian? I said, yes. He said, we're better vegetarian. We're Jains. We're better vegetarians than you, because we don't take potatoes. We don't take anything that comes out of the earth. He's sitting in an airplane, which is run by kerosene, which is produced from crude oil, which is dug out from the earth with great ugra karma, killing zillions of insects and bugs and worms. but he thinks he's a better sadhu for not eating potatoes. So, Arjuna is described here. He has some compassionate quality, but then we also see that demoniac people, they also feel some inclination for their fellow men. Hiranyakashipu was partial to Hiranyaksha. There's nothing godly about that. Hitler, who's widely branded as the greatest demon of the 20th century, although from the Shastric point of view, he might not have been. But he was compassionate to his fellow Germans. But his compassion or his affinity for his fellow Germans, actually he was born in Austria, which is officially a different country. But anyway, his compassion for his fellow Germans manifested as enmity toward others. So Arjuna was looking for an all-around solution, peace. Now, the so-called Gandhi Jayanti is coming up in a few days. Gandhi believed in peace, but by peaceful methods he wanted to kick the British out, which was, that's also disturbing to the British. So, where is there total peace in this world? It's not possible. And of course, as a result of his policy, or you maybe not a direct result, but he was against the partition of India, but that would have never happened if the British had remained in power. So the partition of India led to massive violence. So his efforts to retain peace, his promoting ahimsa as a principle, an indirect result was the terrible slaughter of literally lakhs of people. So Arjuna, anyway, it's described here, he has the compassionate quality. He's compassionate. However, this compassion, it's not the same as the compassion of materialistic people. During the 1960s, as I was growing up, we used to see on the news, on TV, the protests against the Vietnam War. In Srila Prabhupada's lectures, you'll often hear statements about the Vietnam War, which was the American, so not only Americans, but mostly Americans. They were fighting against the Viet Cong, the communists. So the students were protesting. It's not that they had any deep love for the Vietnamese people, that they didn't want to kill them. They didn't want to get killed themselves. That was the main thing. They wanted to remain in America and enjoy life there. Their slogan was, make love, not war. And for those of you who are not aware, make love is an Americanism for have sex. So that's what they were interested in free sex and intoxication and irresponsible life, and they didn't want to fight any war. They're not on the same level as Arjuna. Arjuna is a very thoughtful person. He was concerned with dharma. He didn't want to fight. He felt compassion that even those who considered themselves his enemies, he didn't want to fight them out of a sense of compassion. He wasn't a coward. But his sense of compassion, that is described in a verse which Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Yasyasti bhaktiya bhagavatya kinchana sarvayar gunai tatra samasate suraha harav abhaktasya kuto mahadguna manoratena asati dhavato dahi. One who is a devotee of Krishna has all godly qualities. Particularly it's mentioned one who has no material interest. I mean that level of devotee, pure devotee. Whereas a non-devotee, kuto mahanguna, even if he appears to have very great qualities, they're not really qualities at all because he's simply on the mental platform. So Srila Prabhupada's quoting this and referring to Arjuna's compassion suggests that Arjuna's compassion is a totally spiritual quality which springs from his being a fully surrendered devotee of Krishna, and it's completely different from the compassion of the anti-war protesters in the 1960s protesting against the Vietnam War, or save the whale activists or ecologists who save the earth, or Princess Diana, she wanted to remove the mines, and there are others there, they want to remove, there are mines all over the world. I often go, well, once a year I go to Croatia, and in the area I visit, it's warned, be careful, don't, it's very nice hills, you can go for a walk, don't go for a walk, because there are mines there. Well, I'm talking about mines here, I'm talking about the kind of mines that you step on and they blow you up, that kind of mine. So it's very dangerous to walk in that area because there are mines from the war which was going on there about 15 years ago. So you can just be walking, having a nice walk in the country, and all of a sudden, poof, your leg's blown off, or maybe your whole body's blown to pieces. And in some countries, we're told in Afghanistan there are so many mines, and in Kampuchea there are so many mines, and good people, people who are concerned, compassionate for others, they want to remove the mines. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, such persons, although they may appear to have very good quality of being good to others, actually they're not good to others. Alright, they're good people, you could say. They're better than people who are planting mines, you might say. But they don't really have any good quality because they're on the external platform, which is one of exploitation. Whereas a devotee is a kinchana. He has no motive for exploitation of others. So Arjuna's compassion, it comes from a completely different platform from that of non-devotees. It springs from his Krishna consciousness and seeing all others as part and parcel of Krishna. Of course, at this point, Arjuna Vishada Yoga, this chapter is the chapter of Arjuna's lamentation, which became ultimately the cause of his yoga or his linking with Krishna. So Arjuna appears to be bewildered, but his inherent quality is of being a devotee. And a devotee has all good qualities. Now, we may say, well, sometimes we see that devotees, they don't have good quality. It may seem that they're not very well behaved. Often we see that Mayavadi sadhus, they're actually, if you meet them, they're very courteous and polite and gentlemanly, and some sahajiyas also, they're even non-devotees. In the West, we often hear this from devotees, that they're living in a temple and then they go out and they're doing some job, they leave the temple, and they say, well, actually the non-devotees, they deal with each other much better than the devotees do. And you may think, well, that's not right, because devotees are supposed to be sadhus and non-devotees are demons. They don't believe in Krishna. Namang duskushino munha prapadyante naradhama maya pahrita jnana asuram bhavamashur. You heard this in America? Devotees say the karmis are better than the devotees. It's commonly said. And actually in business it seems to be true, especially in business dealings. And devotees, maybe Guru Gauranga is an exception, but mostly they don't want to hire devotees. Well, what's his name? Adi Rudra, Radha Charan, he also hires devotees. But it's a commonly stated thing. Peter Burwash says that. Not on business dealings or in any way. He's fed up of devotees. He used to be. He doesn't want to be identified as a devotee. Devotees have a bad reputation in America for their aggressively distributing books. Of course, that was one generation ago, but still, the bad reputation lingers on, how we've aggressively distributed books. Of course, we distributed books, that's good, but it seems in this case that the means of doing so alienated the public. Nevertheless, the devotee distributing books, even if he does so in a way which alienates the public, is much better than someone who's handing out, for instance, condoms to homosexuals so they don't get AIDS. It's a compassionate act. But, or even for that matter, someone who's handing out, just like in Afghanistan, the Americans, after they did a bombing spree, and then after that they dropped packets of meals, American-style food, which Afghanis don't like anyway, hamburgers. They dropped it to say, well, after all, we love you. Sorry we killed a few of you and blew your arms and legs off, but anyway, we love you, and here's some McDonald's hamburgers for you, because we love you. So, devotee distributing books, Srila Prabhupada's books, even if he does so in a way which is alienates others. Now it's much better he does it in a way which doesn't alienate others. Alienate, do you all know what that means? It means to make them feel like you're an alien. To turn them off. To make them feel bad about you. So that they don't want to have anything to do with you. So, the devotees, often they're harsh in their dealings. Nowadays in our movement, some are trying to be more saintly in their dealings, but at least when I joined the temple, it was surrender on the spot or be severely rebuked for not doing so. If you didn't want to get up in the morning for Mangalati, you might be, or you stood a good chance of being, because we slept in sleeping bags because England's cold, so you might be thrown down the stairs in your sleeping bag. That was the standard practice of the temple commander in the temple where I was staying. He's an ISKCON sannyasi and guru now, but that was how he used to. Anyone not up by 4 o'clock, he would physically throw them down the stairs. So it's quite a good impetus to get up in the morning. That's one kind of compassion also. You don't want to get up from Mangaladi, you're liable to get your bones broken. It was very heavy. Your devotees used to shout at you. But the idea was that, we should do everything properly for Krishna. So it was rough in some ways. Devotees were coming from a very rough background, not like nowadays we have many cultured. In India here, many cultured people like Johnny Amun who couldn't imagine these things. But we're coming from a very rough background, and whatever culture or lack of it we had, we applied it in Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. It was intense Bhakti Yoga. So, devotees, sometimes they may appear to be rough, badly behaved, and it's better that they don't behave like that. But even the point here, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati kinchu, they have all good qualities. Prabhupada would always defend his devotees, his disciples. So that we'll find in the book The Science of Self-Realization that one lady wrote to Prabhupada that she had met two of Prabhupada's disciples. And they acted in a very negative way. And Prabhupada wrote back to her and said that, Prabhupada wrote in a very tactful way, you could say. But Prabhupada made the point that even though they may appear to be somewhat rough in their dealings, the fact that they have surrendered their lives to Krishna makes them saintly. And indirectly he was saying that her so-called positiveness and wanting to be good without Krishna consciousness, it's all useless. Which is the verdict of the Shastra. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastra Japastapaha Apranasyaiva Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. Do you know this verse, Rupa Goswami? You're nodding your head there. Do you know this verse? It's easy to understand. It's easy to understand. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya. Of one who is devoid of Bhagavad Bhakti. They may have high birth, knowledge of Shastra, or following Shastra. They may be chanting japa, they may be austere, but their so-called good qualities are like the decoration on a dead body. It means there's the decoration is there, but the person that it's supposed to decorate is dead. So it's grotesque. It's inappropriately placed. The body is dead. It's horrible. However nice decorations you put on a dead body is never attractive. So similarly, a non-devotee, they may be compassionate, kind, well-behaved, etc., etc., etc. But their very nature is offensive to Krishna. And a devotee, just like we'll find devotees like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, physically he was very rough appearing, and in his behavior also he was very rough. He would come to him for blessings, he would beat them. You want to touch his feet, he'd beat them with an umbrella. He was like that. So he appeared to be very rough in his behavior. He was very condemnatory of practically everyone. But he's a great pure devotee, Paramahamsa, decorated with all the good qualities of a devotee. Because that is his quality. That is the point. The real great quality is devotion to Krishna. And anything else which is advertised as a quality It's not a quality at all. Devotion to Krishna is the quality. That is the actual quality of a devotee. Just like Krishna is decorated with jewels, but actually the jewels become decorated by Krishna, not that Krishna becomes decorated by the jewels. So in the same way, a devotee's devotion to Krishna, that in itself is the great quality which makes his life totally glorious. And without devotion to Krishna, everything else is just a farce or a show. That's why it's very difficult to understand devotees. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes he's accused. You see how he was living in Navadvip, and one time he was chanting Gopi, 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 and someone said to a Brahmana, who's learned in Shastra, said to him that, why don't you, the Shastra says that you should chant Krishna, why are you chanting Gopi? So it seemed to be like an appropriate suggestion, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry and wanted to beat that student. And that student ran away and told all the other young Brahmins, you see this Nimai Pandit, he's become so puffed up. I said something to him, it's a very straightforward thing to say. See, he's chanting Gopi Gopi, you don't find anywhere in Shastra that you should chant Gopi Gopi. I said to chant Krishna, and he wanted to beat me, and I'm a Brahmana. It's very sinful to beat a Brahmana. And all the other Brahmanas, they agreed, yes, this Nimai, he's become very arrogant. You see, now he's doing all this bhakti, and he's become very arrogant. He thinks he can beat Brahmanas? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with all of you? They were all wrong. From the ordinary perspective, they were right and he was wrong. But from the bhakti perspective, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always right. They couldn't understand his internal bhava. And therefore, instead of thinking, oh, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beats us, we'll be very fortunate. Advaita Acharya set up a situation in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and beat him. And then Advaita Acharya thought, oh, very nice. Now I'm very fortunate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has beaten me. But from the external point of view, that seems to be very bad. How can Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beat Advaita Acharya? He's an old man, he's a Brahmana, he's respected. The non-devotees, they criticize. You see this Nimai, he left home, he had a young wife, an elderly mother, just left them. You see, no family responsibility. Spoiled dharma. He set a very bad example. They criticize. Chota Haridas, what did he do wrong? Small fault, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so harsh with him. So if we see that, if we understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's bhakti bhav, then we'll understand everything is perfect. If we don't understand that, we may think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just irrational, egoistic. And that's traditionally the smarters in Bengal have criticized the devotees. They're very moral, the smarters, and they follow smarta vidhi of Raghunanda. And they'll look after their families, and they won't lie or steal, or they won't do anything like that. And they criticize the Vaishnavas, you see, they don't follow any prince, they follow this Nimai, this madman, this irresponsible person. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it said of him, Apani Achari Prabhu Jibere Shikai. He taught by his own example. This word acharan is used for, well, it means behavior, but it's particularly behavior in devotional service. Bhakti sadacha. By behavior, it particularly means behavior according to shastric injunctions. Therefore, we have the word sadacha. Or sometimes you say acha. Someone who's got good acha, they're considered a sadhu. So often we see people, they see, we may say, oh, he's a sadhu. We may say also about Mayavadis. We may appreciate their quality, that he's gentle, nicely behaved like this. But we may say sometimes that someone, just like there's someone based in Bangalore, who is a complete rascal, cheating people with his Mayavad and his seminars on how to misuse your life, the something of living, something like that. But he's a stereotypical nice sadhu. He smiles, he giggles, he has a long beard and long flowing robes. But he's just cheating people. So he's very, very nice, you see, and positive, and how you can live very nicely, but cheating people, because he's not teaching. He's taking the role of a guru, and like a typical Mayavadi, he pretends not to be a guru. He says, actually, I'm not a guru. He's taking the role of a sadhu, but he's cheating people by not teaching them about Krishna. But people say, oh, very good sadhu, because he talks nicely, and he smiles, and he giggles. In the middle of his... I listened to one of his talks for 10 minutes, and then to save myself vomiting, that's all I could take. So, like this, typical Mayavadi, so-called sadhu. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this understanding, Jai bhaje shai bhara, abhakta hina cha. Whoever worships Krishna is glorious. And who doesn't, he's a rascal, that's all. Which is the same we get from Bhagavad Gita. Then what's the meaning of this? We find in Bhagavad Gita also, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadureva samantavya. Even if one is very badly behaved, if he's totally dedicated to me, Krishna says he's a sadhu. This is Krishna's definition of a sadhu. But then, how can that be, you see? Sadhu should be well behaved. So if you're not well behaved, how can you be a devotee? Well, that's the whole point. If you are a devotee, that is your good behavior. If you're not a devotee, that is your bad behavior. Because if you're not a devotee, all your compassion and love and gentleness and mildness and welfare work, it all simply adds to the ignorance of the human condition and helps oneself and others to rotate in the cycle of birth and death, forgetting Krishna. Whereas a devotee's apparent harshness, it may be harsh in his behavior. As I've often said, Srila Prabhupada, although he passed away from this world quite recently, has been redefined as a nice old man who always smiled, and he always was just very nice with people. But Prabhupada is very often very heavy and very condemning, and would call people, including his disciples, rascals. There's so many incidents. One devotee I know, that Prabhupada suggested to him, that Prabhupada suggested that he cut his own throat. There was one incident. Of course, Prabhupada didn't mean it literally, but he may say, well, that's not very good. The incident was that the prasad where prasad had been served the night before had not been cleaned, and Prabhupada saw it the next morning. He said, why hasn't this been cleaned? Prabhupada was angry. It should be cleaned immediately after prasad is honored. So one devotee took out his penknife, and there was all dal and sabji splattered on the floor. He started to scrape it up, which is ridiculous. Because if there's a whole big area where people are, you have to throw water and brush it. So Prabhupada, seeing the penknife, instead of, I mean, he could have said it's like the squirrel throwing the sand when the bridge to Lanka is being built. But Prabhupada, seeing that, sarcastically said, why don't you use it to cut your throat? Maybe Basu Ghosh Prabhu was there at the time. It's a fairly, I know the devotee himself told me this incident. So you might, I mean, what's that? What kind of a sadhu is that? But because Srila Prabhupada was, his heaviness was to awaken in people a sense of the urgency of Krishna consciousness and the need to fully serve Krishna in all respects in the best possible way. Half-heartedness is not satisfying to Krishna. Or incompetence is not satisfying to Krishna. So Prabhupada was very strong. And we have, in the history of the Vaishnava Sampradaya, devotees who, Tiruvamangai Alva, he was, you'll find in South India, the temples of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. There's one deity standing with a sword, because his job was to kill people for Krishna. He did so. So you may think, well, that's not very good. And it's not recommended in the modern age. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. But Arjuna did, Hanuman did. Krishna wanted Arjuna to kill. Arjuna didn't want to kill. Krishna wanted him to. Arjuna's natural sense of compassion was inappropriate in this circumstance. His natural feeling of compassion, he didn't want to fight, but it was necessary in that circumstance. So, even if a devotee is apparently badly behaved, and we're not encouraging that, well, I'm a devotee, so I can put tilak on my face and then I can just go and slap people in their face. That's not being encouraged. Naturally, devotees should develop all good qualities. But the point is that the good quality is the sense of surrender to Krishna. And what middle-class Indians or middle-class people anywhere, they're raised to be polite, isn't it? That's good. It's better than being impolite. But it's not in and of itself saintliness. They're raised to be considerate. If you see, if you're on a bus and there's an old woman standing up, you should stand up and let her sit down. So these are good qualities. But that in and of itself does not constitute saintliness. And because of lack of knowledge of what is right and wrong, you may mix up the two very badly. You may think, well, let's help this family. It's a poor family. They already have four children, so let's teach them about contraception. But that becomes more sinful. They may think, well, they don't have enough money. They're having more children. But by contraception, then they become very sinful. So, you may think you're helping them. It may seem that you're helping them. But actually, you're adding to the stockpile of sins. And you also become sinful. So, a non-devotee, even if he apparently has good qualities, he's always devoid of actual qualities, because the only real good quality is to surrender to Krishna. And a devotee, he has all good qualities, even if apparently he doesn't have good qualities, but due to his cultural background, he may be very rough. Oh yeah, I was saying about Prabhupada, he would defend his disciples. And this was especially when Srila Prabhupada brought his Western disciples to India, and people in India know what is the standard behavior of a sadhu. But Prabhupada's disciples coming from the West, they didn't know what the standard behavior for a sadhu is. And they would often, in the eyes of the Indian people, misbehave. Sometimes they would argue among themselves and quite spiritedly. Even not only verbally arguing, sometimes physically. It was not uncommon or unknown, especially in India, where devotees from the West felt a lot of stress for various reasons. It was not uncommon in ISKCON India for devotees to physically fight with each other. And as I've heard it said, one life member said to Prabhupada, shocked, he said, "I saw two of your disciples fighting." And Prabhupada said, "Are you surprised they're fighting? I'm surprised they're chanting Hare Krishna." Fighting they would do anyway, but that they're chanting Hare Krishna, that's amazing. So Prabhupada always defended, "No, they're sadhus, they're brahmanas." And what brahmanas? They can't pronounce Sanskrit. They don't know Shastra hardly at all. But they're sadhus, because they're chanting Hare Krishna. And they're seriously dedicated to serving Krishna. They're sadhus. Prabhupada would always defend them, even though they didn't appear to be like sadhus in so many ways. So even if a badly behaved, a devotee always has good qualities. And even if well behaved, someone who's not a devotee, he doesn't have any actual qualities. So what about statements in Shastra? Titikshava karunika suhrida sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadhu bhushanaha. The qualities of a sadhu, Prabhupada often translated this word sadhu as devotee, which is actually, and Lord Krishna himself also, sadhavam hridiyo mahyam sadhunam hridiyam tvaham varanyatena jananti naham tebyo managapi. Krishna says that the sadhu is in my heart and I am in his heart. He knows nothing but me and I know nothing but him. This definitely sadhu means a devotee. It doesn't mean a mayavadi. Definitely means a devotee. So the devotee, titikshava, he's tolerant, merciful, friend to all living beings. He doesn't make enmity with others. He's peaceful. He's decorated with all saintly qualities. So these are the qualities of a devotee. But these qualities, they are in relation to devotional service. If one is tolerant, merciful, etc., etc., but is not a devotee, then it's not full or practical. It's not actually, it's on the dhavato bhi, Manorate nasati dhavatobi. It's on the external mental platform. It's not on the fully spiritual platform. So by some level of spiritual advancement, people can develop tolerance. Again, in the Vietnam War, there are several famous photos from the Vietnam War. One of them was of a Buddhist monk who in Saigon, the capital of South Vietnam, he sat down in a public place, cross-legged like this, poured a can of kerosene over him, and set it alight. So there's a famous photo of the Buddhist monk sitting like this with just burning to death. That was a protest against the Vietnam War. Didn't stop anyone fighting even for a second, but that was a famous photo. So, he developed some detachment from the body, isn't it? How could he do that? How could he just burn himself? So he had some quality, but it was misplaced. He had many people, they say, though, they come in contact with a Mayavadi sadhu and they feel very peaceful. They have some, we can say, some spiritual presence or charisma. But again, because it's not related with Krishna, it's not the real thing. Although it may appear to be. It's only an external show. Because you end up, for all their great austerities and their great endeavor to be, tremendous endeavor by which they become, Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanava. If they don't become actually Gyanavan and surrender to Krishna, then the position of Mayavadis is Yene Ravindaksha Vimuktamaninas Trayasta Bhavad Avishuddha Buddhaya Aruya Kritrena Parang Padang Tata Patantyado Anadrita Yushvadanga. It means that with great difficulty, those who are not devotees of Krishna, who go on a spiritual path, with great difficulty they lift themselves up to the spiritual position, but then they fall down and they come back to the same position. They end up zero. So they really went nowhere. And that means that their spiritual qualities, again, it's on the temporary platform. It's not real. It's not solid. It's not fixed. Because it's not fixed in Krishna. So, that includes everyone, just like in the modern age, as I've many times said, people, they praise Mother Teresa, oh, she was so compassionate, she was feeding the poor, useless, worse than useless. Because it was simply fortifying the bodily concept of life. Where's the actual compassion? She couldn't even stop eating meat. So she had no actual spiritual realization. Although it appeared to be very compassionate. And people, even we hear devotees say, oh, you should learn about compassion from Mother Teresa. No, thank you. I'll learn about it from Prabhupada. I don't want to be taking dead people. All their life they've been living on the street, and when they're dying on the street, you lift them off the street and put them in her home and smile at them and say, I love you. And then they die. And what's the benefit? And then if they get better, they don't die, put them back on the street. Come back later. We'll smile at you later. So you use it, it's just nonsense. But oh, so compassionate, so kind, so dedicated. Well, dedication, yeah, Hitler was also dedicated. But unless you get the right point, then it's all useless. Or worse than useless. People think she's very saintly, but her saintliness was, again, it's simply on the bodily platform. She was living in the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but never felt any attraction to him. Her aim was to convert people from being followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to being beef eaters. So, like devotees who themselves have not understood this principle, they say, you can learn about Mother Compassion from Mother Teresa. Or there's these totally mundane books, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Have you seen those? It's very popular in America. It's about, it's all true anecdotes about how people are nice to each other. And the title is Chicken Soup, because the idea is that chicken soup, it's something that your mother gives you. So it's like, it exemplifies motherly compassion. But wait a minute, chicken soup means you killed a chicken. To eat, to get the chicken soup, you had to kill a chicken. So what's good about it? It has all these stories. I read stories about how, just totally mundane people, how they're nice to each other and kind to each other, but totally, totally mundane, make people feel good. But without knowledge of Krishna, what is the value? It's all decoration of a dead body. Again, it's better to be nice to people and smile at them rather than shoot them dead. But then, while you are being nice and smiling at people, you may also be shooting them dead. Just like in America, the business culture has developed that if you deal with someone in a business dealing, they're nice, right? They're polite and they smile and they're friendly, because it all stems from this, Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And if you're nice with people, they'll think, oh, he's nice, and then they'll buy your product. So that whole cut. So while they're being nice and smiling at each other and saying good morning to you when you're walking in the morning, at the same time, they're out there, the governments have sent people out to kill people in Iraq and Afghanistan for political ends, and they're killing literally billions of animals every year while they're saying good morning to you. So what is the niceness? It's superficial. And yeah, it does make you feel that. It is better than if they slap you in the face, but it is not in and of itself a factual good quality. They've missed the actual point, and they can be nice and polite and at the same time give you chicken soup, which is an act of murder. So they don't understand even the basic principles of being nice, because they're not devotees. Their compassion is on the external platform. They'll say, yes, compassion and politeness and kindness, and they'll say all these things. But because they don't understand that all these qualities can only exist in relation to Krishna, therefore on one hand they'll be killing millions of animals, and on the other hand they'll be members of a society for kindness to animals. It's nonsense. But it's very prominent in the West. They make laws that you can't own a dog unless there's someone at home to look after it all the time. Because the poor dog will be left, it'll be feeling lonely. So they're concerned about the dog feeling lonely, and they're feeding the dog with their mother, the cow, which they kill millions every year. So like this, they have welfare organizations, so many welfare organizations, and they think that what sadhus should be doing, they should be feeding the poor. And there used to be so many accusations against ISKCON. Why aren't you opening schools and hospitals and feeding the poor? And now we can say, we are opening schools and hospitals and feeding the poor. Oh, very good. Now you've become real sadhus. But the real sadhu was giving out Prabhupada's books. That's the real act of compassion. There are so many organizations feeding the poor. Just like whenever there was this tsunami that affected Sri Lanka and Tamil Nadu, And our devotees, they went there, okay, we're going to give you prasad. They're already, all the people, they're throwing away the food. We don't want any food. There's already so many people coming and feeding them. Immediately, all the welfare organizations handing out so much food. We got enough food. They're all competing with each other. There's dozens of organizations giving out free food. And we're also there. We've also got something for you. But they don't want it because they're already throwing buckets full of food. They're throwing away. Because everyone's anxious to feed. There's already so many people feeding poor people. And then we become one of them. And then we can't compete with all these big organizations that are feeding so many people. And what's the value if we do anyway? The real thing we have to give them is far more than medicine and food and clothing. There's already so many organizations giving that. And if you do give all these things, but if you don't give Krishna consciousness, then ultimately it's all useless anyway. So we can't compete with them. We just become another organization, not the best, but just another organization that's giving out medicine and clothing, and there are already so many organizations. We become another one, and then people think, oh yes, now you've become a real sadhu. Before you were just talking all that stuff, Bhagavad Gita, but what people really need is food and clothing and shelter and all this kind of thing. So that's the Christian missionary idea, and Vivekananda took it up, and now all the Indians also think that this is the real measure of a sadhu, is how much you're engaged in mundane welfare work. And it's nice, people think it's good. If we just preach Bhagavad Gita, people think there's something wrong with you. If you say we're collecting money so that we can give people knowledge by which they can become free from birth and death, they're not interested. If you say we're starting a school so people can be, they can get degrees, and then, oh, very good, we'll give a donation. Of course, people sometimes give money for distributing Bhagavad Gita, but that because they think, oh, we're promoting Hinduism. Oh, that's good. We're promoting Hinduism, anti-Islam, anti-Christianity. But that's also not our stance. So, Arjuna's quality is that he's a pure devotee. That makes him different, that makes him better. Otherwise, what's the difference? Duryodhana was ruling the kingdom, Yudhishthira wanted to rule the kingdom. Duryodhana was pretty harsh. He wouldn't even give as much land as you can stick a pin into. So that was pretty bad, no doubt. But that wasn't the reason that Krishna supported the Pandavas. He supported them because they were his devotees. And Krishna wanted his devotees to rule. Otherwise, Duryodhana, Prabhupada said, he wasn't doing a bad job as a king. He was more or less following the principles of Dharma. He had Brahmins with him also. So formally or officially, the matter was going on. But he was envious of Krishna. Duryodhana was envious of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Otherwise, in many ways, there may not have been that much difference between the administration of Duryodhana and the administration of Yudhishthira. But Krishna wanted his devotees to be in power, because the devotee, if the devotee is the king, then he will guide everyone to be a devotee of Krishna and offer all their acts to Krishna. And if one is not a devotee, then he may speak of dharma or humanitarianism, goodwill to all. But without Krishna, the inherent nature of what's left, if one is not surrendered to Krishna, is envy of Krishna However it's disguised as compassion, kindness, good qualities, politeness, it's all envy of Krishna, which leads to envy of others and exploitation of others. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Any question about this? Yeah, please.
Maharaj, I understand that devotees of whatever level are much better than non-devotees.
Devotee at any level is much better than a non-devotee.
But in this verse, Api says to the word Ananya Bhak is used.
Ananya Bhak is used, yeah. One is a sadhu, even if he's a sudurachari, if he's ananya bhak. One is a sadhu, even if he's most badly behaved, if he's totally dedicated to Krishna.
But
if one is not totally surrendered to Krishna, and he's a sudurachari, well, Krishna doesn't say he's a sadhu. But the principle that's being upheld here in this series of verses is that one who is a bhakta, he's better situated. If he's not ananya bhak, he may be still somewhat durachari to some extent. Krishna is using the most extreme terms, sudurachari, the most badly behaved, and ananya bhak, totally dedicated. But if one has even the inclination to serve Krishna, if one has that inclination, then he's considered a pure devotee also. Now there is devotional service motivated by tamagun, or influenced by tamagun, influenced by rajagun, influenced by sattvagun. But one who comes under the shelter of a pure devotee and has the intention to fully surrender to Krishna, they are considered a pure devotee also. If they have that intention to do so. Again, this shouldn't be used as an excuse to misbehave. That is not proper. And it's devotees should behave properly. But it's not that, first of all, you consider how I behave very nicely, and that then I'll become a devotee. Or that's the sign of being a devotee. Because sometimes a devotee, it's not necessarily a sign of a devotee, because we see people who are very well behaved, but they're not devotees. And sometimes someone who's very dedicated to, for instance, distributing Prabhupada's books, they may be somewhat rough in their behavior, rough with other devotees, rough with the public, but they're very dedicated to distributing Prabhupada's books and very sincere to do that. So definitely that devotee, his sincerity to his actual compassion that people need to get these books so they can learn about pure devotional service to Krishna, that in itself is that is his saintliness. And that saintliness is far more appreciable than someone who's maybe a neophyte devotee or a non-devotee and is very polite, very considerate, but they're in devotional service, they're somewhat lazy, or they may be very saintly in their behavior, but they didn't really get the idea that we have to work hard and try and spread this movement. They're more concerned with being saintly than with spreading the mission. So they didn't really understand what saintly. There's an idea, sadhus should be very peaceful, very well behaved, and they're attracted to the idea of being a sadhu. And they come to devotional service, and they are sadhus, and they're very nice, and that's very good, and that's appreciated. But they're still attached to the conception, or rather the concept of being a sadhu, more than of how can I surrender fully to Prabhupada's mission and serve the mission of the acharyas. So that kind of saintliness, it's somewhat superficial actually. It doesn't come from the soul. It doesn't come from surrender to Krishna. It's putting the cart before the horse. Actual good qualities spring from surrender to Krishna. And the good qualities, it's not that the surrender to Krishna is one of the qualities which goes along with the others. That is the quality. Lacking which, all other qualities are superficial. Or if we think that good qualities, that is the main sign of a sadhu, that he, you know, very polite and all right, that's good. But better than being very polite and very soft-spoken is to, you know, be a little rough and tough and get out there and distribute Prabhupada's books. Of course, if one can distribute Prabhupada's books in a way that is very pleasing to others, that's so much the better. Like I was saying, that many people were alienated by the rough tactics of devotees in America in the past. And actually a lot of that sprang from those rough tactics, they sprang from a misunderstanding or misapplication of Krishna consciousness. It could be analyzed like that. There was competitiveness among the devotees, which Prabhupada encouraged to enthuse the devotees to distribute more books, but then they became more interested in winning than in... instead of thinking how we have to give these books to people, the idea became, well, they're just all useless demons and... I have to win the competition. I have to show I'm better than others. So there was a misapplication of the philosophy. Just like I was saying the other night, that among devotees, among the offenses devotees can make, we can also make offenses to not... It's not that we think, well, I'm a devotee and I can mistreat non-devotees because they're non-devotees. But that can also be a block to our devotional advancement, because the devotee is supposed to be Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karuna Evacha. So if we think we can just mistreat others because they're not devotees, then that's a misunderstanding which will block our own advancement. So while distributing books, we also have to act in a way that people will not become inimical to our devotees. Of course, some people are just inimical anyway. But we shouldn't exacerbate that unnecessarily. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.